This is an ABC podcast.
I used to think all the girls were beautiful. I would always think, I wonder if I can be one contestant one day.
Beauty pageants. They're a big deal in the Pacific. And in almost every Pacific country, these competitions transform our young women from the girl next door to national symbols of pride.
So I entered the pageant to advocate for women's health.
Looking at the opportunities that they had available to them.
Help our young women, help them be proud of who they are.
But behind the spotlight, pageants have never been just about beauty. There's been plenty of controversy, and the women at the heart of these contests face a raft of challenges.
I want you to criticize the tourism industry and the tourism ministry here in Tonga.
The pageant was a bit of a lightning rod for conversations about aesthetics and beauty or skin color.
They were not only attacking me, but they were also coming after my family.
She doesn't deserve the crown. She's not good enough.
People who are standing on stage are human beings. They're young women, and it's a very, very vulnerable position to be put in.
Despite these issues, these women still see pageants as an opportunity to showcase their culture, their heritage, and their own identity.
I believe that this platform is more than just a pageant. It's a platform that brings our people together and celebrate our heritage.
Maloilele, I'm Alice Lolohea from the Pacific, and I'm taking you on a journey behind the scenes of Pacific beauty pageants. Modern beauty pageants began in the early 20th century, gaining global traction with the advent of television and mass media.
America, they call them the most beautiful girls in the world.
By the 1960s and 70s, international contests such as Miss Universe and Miss World drew audiences of millions, and soon competitions sprung up in the Pacific. But as their popularity in the US and elsewhere wanes, in the Pacific, beauty pageants are an important part of the social and cultural fabric.
I was always inspired from such a young age, and I used to think all the girls were beautiful. I would always think, I wonder if I can be one contestant one day.
That's Tafolosa Bloomfield, Tonga's Miss Heilala from 1992 to 1993. In the past, these competitions catered mainly for the male gaze, and women strove to fit into definitions of beauty decided by men.
Back to the bikini, and we have Kanoe, the Princess of Hawaii.
Over time, pageants have been reframed as platforms for empowerment and advocacy, particularly in the Pacific.
The songs of my motherland.
I was motivated to take part in the pageant because of all the women's issues, especially with the rise of cervical cancer, breast cancer, and just the gap in the health system with care, palliative care, and also prevention.
Miss Solomon Islands.
They're also seen as platforms for future opportunities and cultural empowerment.
It was things like travel. They were able to, carry on with tertiary education, which led to good careers. They got into business.
That's Christina Kauvai-Tatuva, who was Miss Cook Islands. And here's Merewalasi Nailatikau, Miss Fiji and Miss South Pacific in 2009.
Pacific countries and societies seemed to have reinvented pageants as places to celebrate their culture and the very unique things about their societies and their countries that they want to uplift.
But in the Pacific, they can also be highly competitive, and in recent times, some have invited controversy. Most Pacific countries will hold a national beauty contest every year, and it's serious business.
We had more pageants than elections at one stage in Fiji's history. I like to joke with people, adult men in Fiji have their own pageants. They just call them general elections. But the way that Fiji approached pageants at one time was with the absolute rigor of an election. There were safes involved, there were police officers involved, and I think it's something that people take seriously, and rightly so.
Many Pacific pageants have done away with weight and size restrictions. According to the rules and regulations for Tonga's Miss Heilala contest, young women are instead judged on their poise, presentation skills, and confidence. All of the pieces they wear on stage are also judged according to each category's set of standards.
I believe my thinking is the same as the other judges. We're hoping to see which is the most beautiful costume, what Tongan methods of creating did they employ, how many energy and time went into making these garments, and how did they assemble everything. They are authentically Tongan. We didn't see any that used Western materials or anything like that.
That's Anele Sakolomatangi-Vi, a Tau Olunga expert.
Right now I'm here with all the judges, and we're just making sure that the sarongs are 3 meters or less.
And as scrupulous as judges can be, in turn, they are scrutinized by the public.
I want you to criticize the tourism industry and the tourism ministry here in Tonga. Mm-hmm.
Accusations of rigging, inaccurate scoring, and conflicts of interest have peppered these competitions throughout the years. Last year, Miss Universe Fiji was thrown into disarray when the winner, Manshika Prasad, was stripped of the crown, which was later given to the runner-up, who was allegedly connected to the license holder for the pageant. And then this year, the Miss Pacific Islands contest made a similar splash. The competitions see the national pageant winners from various Pasifika countries competing at the regional level. The competition made headlines when accusations of vote tampering were levelled at members of the judging panel. Contestants say there were other inconsistencies too. Here's Elsie from Solomon Islands.
During my traditional and contemporary attire, when I went out for my category, there were two judges missing. And I did my whole presentation, and then I came back up upstage and I answered the question from the MC. And then I went backstage and I remember thinking about it, like, why was there people missing for my category? And should I do it again now that they're back? Because as I'm leaving, I see them come back and sit down. And I got told, oh yeah, they went for a bathroom break, but they watched you on their phones. I was a bit upset about that, because obviously that would have affected my marks and that would have affected the way I was scored for that category.
We are Solomon Islands. We are Pacifica. Miss Papua New Guinea's sarong is inspired by 5 different species of birds of paradise.
Miss Papua New Guinea, Mei Toruwi Hasola, also felt she wasn't judged fairly due to a lack of cultural awareness.
I felt that when Miss Solomon Islands and I were presenting during the pageant night, because we were Melanesians, what we were presenting, I feel like they didn't really understand. If the judges understood where we were coming from, so that they could be able to appreciate more what we were presenting.
We have attempted to contact the Miss Pacific Islands organisation for comment, but we have not received a response. Here's Mere Walesi.
Fairness and transparency are always going to be important. Having contestants participate or not participate, or treating them differently based on perceived conflicts of interest without openly and transparently discussing these issues can be very hurtful for contestants. And I think that contravenes the very point of empowerment that pageants are purportedly supposed to be about.
When the pageant craze exploded in the 1950s, Fiji quickly picked up on it, creating Miss Hibiscus in 1956, the very first pageant held in the region. These beauty competitions became a way to promote Pacific tourism.
All the seaways and the skyways in the South Pacific lead to Fiji. And tourists pour in from all parts of the globe for the annual Hibiscus Festival.
This year marks its 69th anniversary. And for many young women, these competitions can be major stepping stones. But the spotlight can also be challenging. Online bullying is a growing issue.
Criticism through social media, they don't know us personally, but we can't do much about it because people just say their opinion and we'll just have to do our own part and not look into that.
This week has been a journey. Lots of ups and lots of downs.
Trying to not focus on the negative comments that the public are putting out. I am off my social media accounts, but it is hard when you have people around you who are telling you so-and-so is saying this about you.
I want to encourage our youth to pursue education.
I have faced negativity and cyberbullying from some of the members of the public, but at the end of the day, I know that there are people who root for me and I know who I am.
As the festivities began, last year's reigning Miss Hibiscus, Melania Thora, issued this plea to the public.
Last year, even though it wasn't as much, our girls still felt the online scrutiny. I think the least we can do into supporting our girls and empowering our women is to support them with our words as well and to be kind to them.
Here's Mere Walesi.
Round of applause once again for our beautiful contestants.
My main concern just continues to be the experience that participants have, that contestants have, making sure that they feel cared for, that they are taken care of, that their mental health and their overall well-being is taken care of, because it can be a really taxing, a really onerous, and a really difficult experiences.
Please put your hands together for Miss National Firefighter.
And I think that the introduction of televising the events and of social media amplified that even more, and it did so in ways that contestants were not always prepared for.
More Baspasi Maya Miss AGT and Maya More Catering, Rachel Gutenbell.
Cyberbullying is one area that really affects my mental health.
Rachel Gutenbell was Miss Heilala for 2024 to 2025.
After the Heilala and the Miss Pacific, I face a lot of negative comments. The main one is that she's not Tongan, she's Sepalangi. She's a lawyer, but she cannot answer a simple question. She doesn't deserve the crown. She's not good enough. She's this, she's that, but...
Please put your hands together for contestant number three. We have Pungalao Elizabeth Namanaki Mafi.
Some organisations around the Pacific are taking matters into their own hands. In Tonga, the Women and Children's Crisis Centre ran mental health workshops for contestants taking part in the national pageant, Miss Heilala.
Part of our mental health and well-being sessions is talking to girls about safe spaces. Online is particularly important for us because it's the space right now where it's easy to bully people.
Ofa Gutenbeel Likiliki is from the Women and Children's Crisis Centre in Tonga and also a pageant judge.
We have seen a rapid increase in the number of young girls coming to seek our services because of being abused and bullied online.
Researcher Leah Moana Dam says the exploding growth of digital platforms has amplified the problem.
Now, we've all got access to the pageants. We can watch it online. They're streamed live now. So that's a level, not just of visibility, but access as well, that's completely changed. And we've not seen that before. The pageant was a bit of a lightning rod for conversations about, you know, aesthetics and beauty, or skin colour, or language, you know, those sorts of debates.
New Guinea, where Prime Minister James Marape has warned that Facebook and TikTok will shut down if incidents of cyberbullying continues. It follows the online trolling and racist abuse against Miss PNG Mei Hasola, who was a contestant at the regional competition in Solomon Islands.
Papua New Guinea contestant Meha Sola was targeted by cyberbullies during and after her campaign in the Miss Pacific Islands pageant. Many of the derogatory comments focused on her skin colour.
I only found out about everything that was going on when we had a statement from the police minister and the prime minister of Papua New Guinea. That's when I was made aware of what was going on social media. That was the main thing that really got to me, is that they were not only attacking me, but they were also coming after my family. It was disappointing experiencing colorism, especially when I put myself out to be of service and to be someone who really champions women here in Papua New Guinea. But I learned how to overcome that. And I was really blessed that I had such a strong family and people and friends that I could be able to rely on to uplift me and hold me during this time.
Colorism, discrimination or prejudice against people with darker skin tones, remains a pervasive issue in Pacific communities, and one that contestant Elsie from Solomon Islands is acutely aware of.
It's a really big issue that we don't normally talk about. I attended school in an area that was predominantly Maori and Pacifica. I remember a kid like telling me to go back to Africa, and they were Pacific. I think all throughout my high school, I experienced more racism from my fellow Polynesian and Pacifica students than the European students at my school, which was something that I didn't really expect. And I personally believe it's the post-colonial effects of like how darkness was criticized by our colonizers. And so we have come to hate that a lot. Because hurt people. So it's much easier to hate on it than to be associated with it.
Throughout Miss Pacific Islands' 38-year run, the competition has only ever crowned five Melanesian winners, with Mere Walesi Nailatikau being the first.
It's something I talk a lot about with other Melanesian participants, other women who have shared the experience with me. We all approach the first title very carefully. Personally, I think that you may be the first, but we also stood on the shoulders of so many who came before us, women who we continue to look up to and admire and respect greatly.
This was our first night.
This year, in preparing for her run in the same pageant, Solomon Islander Elsie Bolosovai struggled to find past winners who looked like her.
First outfit. My chances are really slim because like this is a platform that is obviously Polynesian dominated, but I really struggled with finding women that looked like me. It was very difficult to see yourself in that position, to see yourself being a title holder. Because of the nature of how the pageant turned out in the past, we wouldn't have that many Melanesian faces for the Pacific or as a representation of the Pacific, of a Pacific woman.
Some pageant organisations have begun to limit or remove the ability to comment during live streams. But Leah Moana Dam says the responsibility to moderate these platforms falls to both the organisers and the platform owners.
There is responsibility on the organisers or whoever sort of looks after their social media platforms. But broadly speaking, that issue of, you know, really toxic comment sections ultimately should fall back to the platforms themselves. Their responsibility around moderating their platforms. And that's a huge ask, that's a huge topic.
But the advent of digital media has also been used to the advantage of organisations and contestants. These days, competitors hire social media savvy teams who help to promote them online, which can also make pageantry more costly. In fact, running a campaign for many contestants will cost thousands. These women may rely on sponsorships, personal funds, or fundraisers to get there. Here's Elsie again.
It's a very expensive platform. You have to be ready and you have to actually have the money to cover everything from attire to logistics and to admin, because there's people that work for you. There's chaperones, there's designers, there's tailors, and all these people need to get paid because they're using their skills and their time to help you with the pageant. So, but also float. Float also costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Lady Maria Serlui has been sponsoring Sydney-based Heilala contestants for 30 years. She estimates the cost of sponsoring one contestant is over 10,000 Australian dollars.
I'm a woman with a lot of heart to bring these girls here year after year. No one really helps. I just use what's in my purse. I would pick up cans on the beachside just to make money and bring these girls to Tonga. But when I've brought girls, I've usually brought three or four. This year, it's just the one. This girl, Anna Lee, comes from a very poor family. When her mother asked me to pay her airfare to come, I said, don't worry, because I look at the expenditure. I can only spend money on the contestants.
Here's Elsie.
There should be like a cap on what you spend on each category, because if it's just open-ended, then it all depends on one's financial state.
Do you have any idea how much was actually spent during your campaign?
Oh, gosh. It's a really big number. It's definitely in the six figures. Because we had fundraisings, donations, and yeah. It's just a lot of money.
Mere Walesi shares similar sentiments.
What is often not appreciated is that participation in a pageant can be emotionally, socially, and financially taxing, and not all contestants or participants come into the pageant with that kind of awareness or with that kind of ability to coordinate those resources as well as other contestants have. You need a supportive ecosystem around you, from your family to your sponsors to your chaperone team.
So as you can see, this is all, we call it the Tengwa Kakala. You know how our Tongan, all our aunties, our mothers will be doing, making the Tengwa, the Daolunga costume. So they are the ones who really know how to make the our proper ones.
Many women overcome a lot to compete in these pageants. Anna Lee Pisa Tanuvasacholi is here for her first Miss Heilala.
When I was 12 years old, my mum and I, she's a single mum, we were living in a woman's refuge. So it was a very tough time.
For Anna Lee, the stage offers her a chance not just to showcase herself and her culture, but a way to inspire those closest to her.
I had all my four little brothers. I've been with them since birth, so I see them as my own children, and that's why I'm here. I'm hoping to learn, because I don't want them to grow up going through the same journey of wondering, who am I and where do I fit in this world?
Miss Lady Maria Tonga Australia, contestant number one, Anna Lee Pisa Tanuvasa Sholi.
Pageantry in the Pacific has its flaws, but it's also an important space for bringing our women together, lifting them up, and building a better future.
Do you think pageantry should continue in the Pacific?
I definitely believe it's worth fighting for.
Yes, absolutely. I believe that this platform is more than just a pageant. It's a platform that brings our people together and celebrate our heritage.
Mere Walesi has a slightly different view to Rachel Guttenbeel and Elsie Bolosavai.
I am going to say no, because I dream of and want to live in a world where our cultures are alive and thriving. I think it's important to recognize that the pageant is a single event and can only do what it can within the confines of its influence, as great as that influence might be.
If I didn't think that Pacific pageants had a future, then I wouldn't even bother to come and talk about these issues.
These girls say there are changes pageant organisers could implement to make the experience for contestants safer and better represent the whole Pacific region.
I think it's okay to continue under the conditions that we have better management, we have a better team that looks after and cares for the girls, and that truly sticks to the authenticity of Pacific Islands and will truly represent us fairly.
A more diverse judging panel, and if they could get head judges that could really appreciate culturally what the girls are presenting and not only looking at specific things.
So maybe the committee could look at ways to incentivize contestants a bit more, because like I said, it's a lot of effort that these girls have to put into it, and like you want them to be doing it so that it's worthwhile, something that they'll walk out of the pageant improving, I guess, themselves and, you know, using it as a means of character building.
I'd like to think that we can come together as a community, we can celebrate our culture, we can build mutual understanding amongst one another without having to pit young individuals, particularly young women, on a highly scrutinized platform in ways that don't always invite the best of discourse.
Happy right now. Very emotional. So worried I was gonna cry on stage.
Thank you so much. I love you, Betty. Might be prepared to make its way to the podium for the awards this evening on a very special Wednesday night program, and also to deliver his remarks this evening.
In our first special award this evening, the Miss Personality Award for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, goes to Miss Lady Maria Tonga Australia, Miss Anani Pisa Tova Tanubasa Choli.
While Anali didn't take out the main award at Miss Heilala, being here is still a moment of immense pride for her and her family.
Right now, my oldest little brother, he's 10 years old, and he's not ashamed, but he's not proud of his heritage. And I think that's because it wasn't something we could implement at home, since we didn't have that. So to all my brothers, I would say, this is not about me, this is about us. This is a proud moment for all of us.
Thank you for joining me, Alice Lolohea, from the Pacific, and here on ABC Radio Australia. Thank you.